when I think about the joy of salvation, it's not necessarily an overflowing emotion, but it's a realization of just how satisfying God is.
Hey, Veritas, this is Michael Rhodes and Ian Crosby, and you are listening to the Beyond the Message podcast. All right, so if the reason we're laughing, because this was take two right now, and I played sound effects, and I thought it was... And so we are off the rails from the beginning of this episode.
You guys are in for a treat.
Yeah, and we're talking about repentance. So we've got to like really change
things.
We're
really
going
to turn this around.
Hey, look at that. So Ian, yesterday you talked through Psalm 51, 12, 13, and a little bit of 14.
Just,
you snuck
just a little at the end. Had to slide it in there.
So you didn't follow rules very well, but we'll see how the podcast goes.
Yeah. We're not following the rules very well either, so it's on track.
Yes. All right. So yesterday, your big idea was delight in God, to walk with God, and help others to do the same. You talked a lot about what right repentance is, mm-hmm. that there's a wrong way to repent and there's a right way to repent. So if you were to include anything else in your sermon from yesterday, what would you include?
Yeah, I think something that, as I look back on it in a couple conversations that I've had with people afterwards, I don't know if I did a great job of explaining what is the joy of salvation. And so, like, I talked about the joy of salvation a ton, but I don't know if I actually did a great job explaining what it is. And so I think I probably would have included a little bit more about that. I think there's a common misconception that joy, like, has to be expressed in this overwhelming emotion. And I had a couple people come up to me thinking, like, hey, I'm not really an emotional person. I have a hard time like feeling these deep feelings all the time. Like, how would you talk about joy of salvation to someone with like that? And so I think that's probably the first conversation I'd want to have, and love to hear your thoughts on a little bit too. But I think like when I think about the joy of salvation, it's not necessarily a deep, like an overflowing emotion, but it's a realization of just how satisfying God is.
Yeah. When I define joy, I want to say often like it's a deep, like true satisfaction of your soul.
Yeah.
Like you have a depth of satisfaction in you that you're just fully satisfied with who the Lord is and who He's created you to be and what He's done for you. And it's not just this like happy, you know, thing where you're happy and you know it, clap your hands all the time. But there really is a deep satisfaction in your soul.
Yeah, because David doesn't ask, like, to be happy. Like, that's not what he's asking. Sure. Like, there's a good chance he's in the middle of, like, insane grief right now. If his son had just died and all that, it's like, I don't know if happiness is what he's asking for, but he is just asking that God would restore to him the satisfaction of remembering that he is saved by God.
Yeah. So how do you speak to the person that feels somewhat emotionless? I'm going to make a very stereotypical statement right here.
You're about to ask what his profession is, aren't you?
No, I'm just like, I'm not going to do that. That probably wouldn't be a wise thing right now. But yeah, there are people that seemingly don't feel like they have many emotions, right?
Yeah.
So how do you speak to that person?
Yeah, I think part of it is, one, just helping them realize joy isn't just something you feel, it's something you possess. And so like it doesn't have to be expressed in these overwhelming emotions. I would say you should probably feel something sometimes. Like,
totally.
I think God created us as emotional beings, so we have the capacity to feel, and we should feel rightly. And so I think it should come out in emotion every once in a while, if not often. But the extent to what you feel in that emotion, I think, will be different on each person. And so this was just a conversation after service, and it turned into one of our listener questions too. But he was asking, like, practically, how do I, like, experience the joy of salvation when I don't feel like emotions really much at all? And so, yeah, that was just I had to think about it for a minute, because I'm like, well, how do you practice the joy of salvation? I think ultimately it just came back down to like, hey, you need to cultivate it and remind yourself of the salvation that you have. And it was like, if you're more of a logical person, like, let your logic lead you to joy.
Sure.
Like, when, like, literally, like, write down what have you been saved from? And then think through what is better than that. The answer is nothing. And so even if you can't come at it from an emotional standpoint, if you're more of a logical and straightforward thinker, like use your logic and thinking to bring you to a place of realization of, oh, God is completely satisfying. Like this is the best thing ever.
Sure.
Why would I want anything else?
Totally. But it does seem like all throughout the Psalms, you get a lot of emotions and feelings. And all throughout the Bible, you get a bunch of feelings. Like, why are you downcast, O my soul? There's just a wide variety of things that you're getting. And so I think even to ask the Lord, like, help this joy to, like, show up on my face there.
Yeah.
Like, show up in how I do feel.
Yeah.
Help me to feel some of these things. Now, everything's not based on feelings, right? We can't.
We know that feelings don't always tell the truth.
Correct.
But
yeah. Okay, so yesterday you said the joy of salvation starts our repentance and sustains our obedience. Mm-hmm. Like, why is joy so essential? Like, not just from like turning from our sin, but for us to continue to walk closely with God.
Yeah, I think what makes it so important is that if we're just saying, hey, joy is having a deep satisfaction in God. And so if that's what we're saying joy is, it's like we need to continually have that cultivated in us so that that is the most appealing thing to us. Because when we do have that joy, it's like when that joy is restored, there's nothing that compares to it. Sure. And so when you then are confronted with, am I going to walk in sin or am I going to walk rightly with God? It's like, well, why would I choose sin? Because I know the joy that it is to be satisfied completely in God. I know the joy that it is to be saved from my sin. Like, why would I want to turn anywhere else when the joy of my salvation is better than anything that the world has to offer? And so I think that's probably my short answer to that.
I think that's great. There's no doubt that joy affects everything, right? Like, and if it's that deep satisfaction of the soul. So when you have joy, it should like propel you to go, man, there's nothing else better than this. I want to walk closely with the Lord now. But then you kind of finished your sermon, not just talking about us walking rightly with the Lord, but letting that repentance fuel mission in your life, right? But like, what does it look like for repentance to fuel the mission, especially when you don't feel like you have it all together yet?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I think maybe even another aspect of that question could be like, what does the way you're living, whether it's on mission or not, say about the joy that you're experiencing in God? Because I was just challenged by that a lot this weekend and just dealing with little kids. And there's a lot of times where I'm prone to want to be angry and want to have just my control be felt and not in a healthy way. And just got me thinking even yesterday morning as I was just preparing my own heart to preach of like, man, is the joy of my salvation might be running low if my response to my kids is always anger.
Sure.
And so I think and I think that ties into mission a little bit too, because my kids, the way that I repent, the way that the joy of my salvation is overflowing in the way that I live around them is teaching them who God is. Like, it's teaching them, what does it look like to live for Him? What does it look like to repent? What does it look like to be satisfied in God and not in what other people are doing?
Sure.
And so, yeah, I don't know if that actually answers that part of the question, but yeah, I was just thinking kind of even a tie back between those first two questions of like, how does joy keep us walking in, like keep us walking into sin, and how does it impact our mission? Is like, I think we can tell how is the joy of our salvation based on how we're living, like if we're living in sin or living on mission.
I mean, I just think from a practical perspective, if like I have a desire to share the gospel with somebody, but I'm like, my soul feels downcast, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, David would say hope in God would be the result of that. Like how to get out of that, like hope in God. But if I'm not hopeful in the Lord, and I'm going to be thinking about myself a lot, right?
Yeah.
And my joy is not in the Lord, which you talked about repentance, the connection between like when we think about our sin often, then we like, we continue to think about our sin, and we want to put boundaries up and all that kind of stuff. So when you, and so repentance is really turning back to the Lord and setting your mind on the Lord. But if my mind isn't on the Lord and it's on myself, I'm not going to want to go share the gospel, right? Yep. And so, oh, I see my neighbor outside, but I'm just caught up in without joy in my life in that moment because I've forgotten my salvation, then I'm just going to walk in, want to walk inside and not have a conversation, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think another aspect of mission that I think we sometimes forget about is the discipleship aspect of mission. I think oftentimes when we think about mission, it's almost purely evangelism, and which we need to evangelize. That, like, that's the beginning of discipleship. Yep. But I think even as you look at the context, like David is, when he's talking about restore to me the joy of your salvation, and then he says, then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners will return to you. I think he's talking about his kingdom. Like, he's talking about the people of God.
Yep.
And so we need to also see our mission not just as like sharing the gospel with unbelievers, but we need to see that the joy of our salvation is also what helps us to teach others who know God. Yes, it's like totally. It helps us know, like, helps us teach them, hey, this is what it actually looks like to walk rightly with God. Sure. And so I think it's a call, yes, to evangelism, but it's also a call to like deeper discipleship with the people.
Because I mean, if you walk into your connection group one night and you're, it feels like you don't have the joy of your salvation, you've lost that joy. The focus is probably going to be on you for the night. And so when you have a chance to edify somebody else in your connection group, you're going to struggle to do that if everything is about you and you haven't turned to the Lord.
Yeah. And maybe that's really what the joy of salvation does. Like, it gets our thoughts off of ourself and onto, like, first and foremost, the God who saved us. Yeah. And then when the focus is off ourself and we're practicing humility, then we're going to think, well, how can I serve others? Sure. How can I serve them by teaching them, sharing the gospel with them, encouraging them, praying with them? And so I think oftentimes a lack of joy in our salvation is often shown in just selfishness.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. All right. So a couple listener questions here. We've kind of talked on some of this stuff, but somebody asked, what does it practically look like to be willing to obey God in the midst of sin or even in mental health struggles?
Those feel like two kind of different questions. Yep. I would say, like, in the midst of sin, there's not a willingness to obey God. Yeah. Like, if you're in the midst of sin, you're not willing to obey. You're willing to do what you want.
Yeah.
You're willing to follow through with your sin. I remember talking with someone when I was in college, and this is conversations just stuck with me. And he said, I had to come to a point where I had to admit that the reason I sinned was because I wanted to. And I just never heard that before. Sure. I'd always heard, oh, I don't do what I want to do and I do what I don't want to do, like out of Romans 7. But the reality is, in our flesh, when we sin, it's because we want it. Yeah. And so when it comes to how do you have a willingness to obey God in the midst of sin, I would say it doesn't happen in the midst of sin. No. It has to happen before sin.
Sure.
And so I think that's what makes David's plea so important of, like, God, I need the joy restored to me, and I need, like, a willingness to obey you upheld in me so that I can choose to walk according to the ways that you want. Sure. And so I'd say practically, it's like, you need to want to obey God before sin, like, knocks at your door. So, like, totally. You have to be, like, immersed in the word. You have to be in prayer. You have to be on guard of sin and be looking out for it. You can't be making those small compromises that we see David making in 2 Samuel 11.
And that's where the joy of salvation is driving you walking closely with the Lord.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
You're finding something else more satisfying than the Lord in your life. And then you're saying, like, so once you've done that, like, you're in the midst of it, you're not going to want to obey in that moment, right? So taking that second part, like, what does it practically look like to be willing to obey God in the midst of, like, even mental health struggles?
Yeah. Man, that can be so loaded because anytime mental health struggles is brought up, you're like, well, what level are we talking about here? And so, yeah. All the caveats that you want to put in front of it, go ahead and put in front of it, whatever. But I would say we too often separate spiritual health and mental health, and I think they're so closely related.
Yeah.
And so I think the biggest part to have a willingness to obey God in the midst of mental health struggles is to, like, boost up your spiritual health. And so do things that make you love God more. Do things that cultivate that joy. Do things that cultivate your love for Him. And
we've talked about this on several occasions. We've even done a few other podcasts on this, but to prioritize the health of your soul over your physical health, even your mental health, right, is so critical. And I think we would sometimes elevate mental health as the highest level of health that we need to take care of, when Jesus is saying, like, you could gain the whole world but forfeit your soul. So there's some kind of priority that Jesus is placing on the soul. And then later on, Paul would say, well, like, physical training has some value, right? Yeah. But it's not the ultimate value. And so I think, how do we practically, what does it look like to practically, like, be willing to obey in the midst of mental health struggles? Like, prioritize the Lord over your mental health struggles, whatever they may be. And I know there's a lot to that, and there's a lot of ways you can go, but just for the sake of not being able to have a conversation with somebody right now, to say, let's prioritize our soul health more than anything.
Yeah, you know? That's good.
All right, one more question here from a listener. It's a longer question with a couple couple questions in it, but it says, I understand the joy of salvation that Jesus' death and resurrection can create in us and is written about in the New Testament. But what was the joy of salvation referred to in this Old Testament psalm? You challenge us to consider our level of joy of salvation. There is a joy on an emotional level and a joy on a spiritual level. Can you contrast the difference as you see joy on the emotional level versus the joy on a spiritual level? A whole lot there.
That's a lot of questions. Yes. That's a lot of questions.
The first question came down to, what was the joy of salvation referred to in this Old Testament psalm? Is there a difference between the joy of the salvation in the Old Testament versus the New Testament?
I don't think so. I would say the joy is the same. I think how the salvation is accomplished is different.
Totally.
In the Old Testament, because when we think about salvation, it's like being made right with God, right? Like, that's kind of what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. And that happened differently in the Old Testament under the sacrificial laws and stuff like that than it does in the New Covenant with the blood of Christ. And so the salvation may have come about differently. Ultimately, it's all by faith. Like, you're doing all of those things by faith. And so that's the important thing to remember, that even in the New Covenant, we're saved by grace through faith. In the Old Covenant, they're still saved by their faith that they have that led them to do the sacrifices, that led them to do those things. And so I think the joy of salvation is the same regardless of, like, what side of the covenant you're on.
Totally. Because, I mean, it's about forgiveness of sins being reconciled back to God. We just know that, like, when we preach a sermon like this, we're not just preaching this to David's audience.
Correct.
We're preaching this thousands of years later, and we know what's happened on the cross in the death and resurrection of Jesus.
And that's what makes, I think, teaching the Old Testament, like, just a little bit more challenging too, is because, like, you're wanting to understand, like, what is the context that's actually written in, and who is it actually written to? Where are they in redemptive history? But then also, like, all right, now I need to bridge that to the people that I'm preaching to.
Totally.
Because ultimately, as we're preaching to God's people now in the room with us. And so, sometimes I can see how it could kind of get – that bridge can kind of get lost every once in a while.
But if we go back to that definition we talked about at the beginning of our joy being a deep satisfaction of our soul.
David would have experienced that the same way that a Christian today would experience
it's
that.
Just now we know the way that was accomplished was through Jesus.
Yeah.
All right. So second question in that, can you contrast the difference as you see joy on the emotional level versus joy on a spiritual level?
This kind of goes back to, like, even the mental health aspect of things. It's like, I think they're so closely related. Like, I think ultimately the joy David was feeling was a spiritual joy, knowing that his soul had been reconciled to God. And then I think that overflows into emotions. Yeah. But I think ultimately it goes back to how we were talking about joy at the beginning. It's not just an emotion. It's a deep satisfaction.
Yeah, it's not just a happiness.
God. Yeah.
Like, and I know we can talk on a really basic level. There's a difference between joy and happiness. Mm-hmm. But that's what we're saying here. Like, it's not just this, like, jolly feeling all the time. But, like, in all circumstances, suffering, pain, trials, great things, we're going, my soul is satisfied.
Yeah.
And I have a joy. Because and here in this psalm, it's like, I want the joy from when God saved me and reconciled me back to himself to be present in my life at all times.
Because, like, I can't remember if we already talked about this, but it's like, David probably wasn't super happy at this moment.
Yeah.
Like he had just been in sin. He's suffering the consequences of his sin. And so he's not necessarily super happy, but he still knows the importance of joy in the midst of not being happy, in the midst of suffering, in the midst of trial.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think it goes beyond the emotion, and it has to start spiritual. And sure. Sometimes it shows up in our emotions, but it has to start in a spiritual place.
Totally.
And so I think sometimes we can want it to start emotional, but you're always going to be lacking if that's where it starts.
Well, Ian, thanks for yesterday. It was encouragement to my own soul to consider repentance differently, to consider repentance in a maybe not a fresh way, but just to be reminded of like this is what biblical repentance is. Just to remind you guys, the big idea was delight in God, to walk with God, and help others to do the same. Guys, if you have a question you'd like us to address on this podcast, submit it through the form linked on the digital program or in the weekly connection group email. And you can join us again next week to hear the answers for those and other things on this Beyond the Message podcast.